find in the Bible the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. That's in your Old Testament. The book of Nehemiah. If you have an old Scofield reference Bible, it is on page 542. It's right after Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, somewhere along in there, right before Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. I say that because Nehemiah is not a book that we normally would go to a lot of times on Sunday morning, but this morning the Lord has laid on our heart to go to the book of Nehemiah, and I want to start reading in a few verses in chapter number 2. It is good to see all of you here today, and I'm glad you're here. Nehemiah chapter number 2, and I want you to look at verse number 11, and let me set the stage for the reading if I can. Nehemiah goes into Jerusalem and he looks around, and you won't believe what he saw. It was like the walls of the city had been torn down. It was the gates in that particular city were broken down. And what he remembered as the city of Jerusalem was no more. And it would be like this. It would be like this. Us coming into this place that the Lord has given us. And the walls and the sheetrocks all tore down. And we look and the doors are all tore down. You got about 4, 5, 6 doors in here. And all of them are tore down. And Nehemiah just goes in and he starts to weep and he's crying. And what is going on? And I'll be honest, people. This is what's going on in our country. This is what's going on in our nation. As we look around, we look at the walls and the gates. What America used to be, what it used to stand for, and we look around, and the only thing now we can do is just look around and say, oh God, boy, I remember how it used to be. And Nehemiah is that way. Look at verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. I rose in the night, I and a few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. I went out by night in the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well in the dung port, viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that there was under me to pass. I went up in night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went and what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Verse 17, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in. Now get the picture. America, our nation. You might want to spiritualize this as your home. The home you just drove here from. Maybe it's in distress. Maybe you look and the walls are crumbling down. We look at the walls of America and we believe we're in distress. Look at this distress that we're in. Maybe you could say in your home, look, God, look at this distress that I'm in. Maybe you personally, you individually, can say, my life is in a mess. My walls, the gates, everything is torn down. And this is what Nehemiah said, look at the distress that we're in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. But Nehemiah said this, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Nehemiah had a burden. He got a burden, and that burden was to rebuild what was lost, to rebuild the walls of the city, to rebuild the gates of the city. And God put on him a burden. Can I say this? If America's going to ever do anything for God, it's going to have to start behind the pulpits of America. The preachers are going to have to stand up, get the lace off of their underwear, and start preaching, thus saith the Lord, and stop ear tickling everybody. saying what everybody wants to hear. It's time Nehemiah stood up and said, hey, let's rebuild this thing. I'm tired of sitting back watching it burn. I'm tired of sitting back watching everybody get the glory. All everybody else is looking at the Christians going, boy, man, y'all used to be strong, but y'all ain't nothing anymore. Nehemiah said, I'm tired of that. Let's arise and let's rebuild the walls of the city and the gates of the city. Now, chapter number 3. I'm not going to read chapter number 3, but this is what I want you to notice real quickly. In verse 1, you see there, they started with the sheep gate. You see the sheep gate there in verse 1? All right, look at verse 3. After they finished the sheep gate, they went and rebuilded the fish gate. And then verse 6, the old gate. Now all of these in my Bible is underlined. You might want to underline those. Down in verse 13, the valley gate. Down in verse 14, the dung gate. Verse 15, the gate of the fountain. Verse 26, the water gate. Now, that's not Richard Nixon. Has nothing to do with Richard Nixon. We've come a long way in America. George Washington, our first president, could not tell a lie. Richard Nixon could not tell the truth. And now we have Obama that don't know the difference.
Right.
Hallelujah. Where was I? Oh. Verse 26, the water gate. Verse 28, the horse gate. Verse 29, the east gate. And then in verse 32, back to the sheep gate. In 32 verses, they started out with the sheep gate and they started rebuilding. Walls of Jerusalem had 12 gates. There's only about 10 of them mentioned there. And there was 3 here, 3 there, 3 on that side, 3 on this side, 12 gates. It was just like going to Walmart. It all depended on what side of the city you wanted to go in, which gate you come in. If you wanted to go and you're buying groceries, you go to the grocery door. If you're going to get tire supplies or something else for the garden, you go in the other door. So this is the way it was in Jerusalem. But when we go in there, all of them are torn down. And Nehemiah says, let's arise. I'm tired of looking at it like this. Let somebody get a backbone. Let somebody stand up. Let's arise and rebuild the gates and the walls of the city. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd help us for the next few minutes. God, please, would you? In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I want to draw your attention to the first gate they started with. And this is where it all starts. It was the sheep gate. This is where they started. My friend, it deals with salvation. That's the first thing you got to deal with. Yeah. If you're going to rebuild your family, rebuild the walls, rebuild our country, we're going to have to get back to preaching salvation by the sheep. Right. You say, who? Who's the sheep? John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It started with blood. You say, what was the sheep gate? Well, I'm glad you asked. They marched those sheep in that sheep gate. And the high priest would be standing at the door examining every one of those sheep. And he would say, oh, this has got a blemish. You know, you can't come in. And he would say, oh, this one looks good. We can use this as a sacrifice. Here we go. You go on down in there. All right, look, this one don't look good. Send them out. And they would examine all of those sheep because the sheep had to be without spot or blemish to be used in the sacrifice. Well, I got good news for you, my friend. On Palm Sunday, Jesus Christ rode into the sheep gate on that particular Sunday. And he rode into that sheep gate. And their high priest is standing there. And you say, I thought they were supposed to examine him. They did. They arrested our Lord. And they examined him before 5 mock trials. And Pilate said, hallelujah, I find no fault in this man. My friend, it has to start at the sheep gate. Some of you sitting in here on the sound of my voice think it starts at the water. My friend, it starts at the sheep gate. And it's got to be rebuilt. Rebuild it. Preacher, start preaching salvation by the grace of God. Plus nothing, minus nothing. It's by Jesus Christ. He's the only way to heaven. It has to be by the sheep gate. And no doubt, no doubt, as they come through there, those sacrificial lambs, they did not realize that the man riding on that donkey was the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sins of the whole world. My friend, do you see the importance? In America, we must rebuild the sheep gate. It's not by Allah. It's not by Buddha. It's not by sun, moon. It's not by anybody but Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that this country, all religion is okay except the religion of Jesus Christ? Everybody's okay. You can talk to who you want to. You can get your rug out and pray to whoever you want to. I blocked the whole city of New York, the streets, and they can get down on their rugs with the towels on their head, and they can bow down and pray to Allah that's deader than 5 o'clock in the morning. But my friend, you mentioned the name of Jesus, and the news media goes stark raving mad. Why? Because there's something about that name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Yes, my friend, it starts at the sheep gate. And can I say this? It ends with the sheep gate.
Yeah.
It started out with blood in Genesis chapter number 3.
Yeah.
It'll end up with the blood in Revelation chapter 21.
Yeah.
It's all by the blood. Jesus said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, that which was, that which is to come. The sheep gate has to be rebuilt. I want you to notice that there's no locks or bars on the sheep gate. That means the door of salvation is open to all that wants to be saved. Anybody that wants to be saved can be saved. The Holy Spirit of God starts dealing with your heart, and you say, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. This wall, this sheep gate needs to be rebuilt in my life. I've never been saved. Lord, would you please save me? I guarantee you a bucket load of salvation will come over the portals of heaven and strike you in the souls in the gable end of your soul. And ladies and gentlemen, salvation will come to your house. The White House, everybody's house that wants it by Jesus Christ and Him alone. Sheep gate, it's got to be rebuilt. But I tell you this, I'm running out of time. I may not get too many of these gates rebuilt. But in verse 3, after they got done with the sheep gate, they started with the fish gate. You say, preacher, what's that talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked that too. The sheep gate was the entrance or the exit to the Sea of Galilee. Them disciples, they would be out there fishing, and they would come through the fish gate into the temple, or into the outer court rather, and they'd come through the fish gate and start selling fish to everybody. You say, what's that got to do with us? Well, after you get the sheep gate rebuilt, you need to rebuild the fish gate. You say, what's that? You need to start fishing for men.
Amen.
Listen, if salvation has been so good to you, why don't you tell somebody else about it? Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher.
Amen.
I'm not a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher.
Amen.
All you got to do is tell them what happened to you.
Yeah. Amen.
Say, preacher, I don't know. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he told his testimony. When he got an opportunity for King Agrippa, for Festus or whoever it was, he gave his testimony. The record of Paul's testimony 3 or 4 times in the book of Acts. He kept telling his testimony. Hey, this is what happened to me. I was lost. I was undone. And Jesus Christ saved me.
Amen.
Listen, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for the whole world.
Right. Amen.
And this is what America needs. They don't need to. Listen, I'm for feeding everybody you can feed. But listen, you can fill every hungry belly in Dyer County. And if you don't give them the gospel and they don't get saved, they'll go to hell with a full stomach.
Right.
Right.
Our job ain't to feed everybody in Dyer County.
Right.
If it's possible, we sure will. We'll try to help. Our job is to give them the gospel of the grace of God so they can go to heaven with us when we die.
Amen.
Rebuild that fish gate. You said, "Preacher, I've never told anybody about the Lord." Your fish gate is tore plumb down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to get ready. You need to start rebuilding it today. Some of you in here, hey, I've never been saved. You need to get that fish gate or the sheep gate going.
Yeah.
You better come through the sheep gate. And then the fish gate, Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Right.
It's nothing any better than seeing somebody come to the saving knowledge of the grace of God. Boy, last Sunday we had two or three get saved during the revival or whatever. And boy, you can tell they get nervous and they start holding on to the pew. And some people, when they get nervous, they get up and they don't like the preaching and it's getting really on them. And it's conviction, you know. And they get up, go to the bathroom, go get a drink of the water or whatever. You think everybody, you think nobody, they ain't got no kiddies as many times they go to the bathroom.
Yeah, sure.
You don't go to the bathroom that many times during a football game or a baseball game.
That's right.
Boy, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm talking about when the preaching starts, people start getting nervous. Why? Under conviction.
Right.
Hey, that Bible is powerful. You know what? And that Bible starts speaking to me. I'm not doing what this Bible says.
Yeah.
Well, I think I need to go to the bathroom. Let me pinch this baby and see if I can get her to cry and see if I can get out of here. That'll give me a chance to get out of here. Lord, I've been in camp meeting all week. Hallelujah. It's bubbling up inside.
Amen.
I mean, want to get out of here. Why? People, listen, don't you remember that day when you were sitting there and, boy, you was under conviction, you was holding on to the pew, and, boy, I'm talking about, you remember then when the invitation was given and you finally let go and came down that aisle and the Lord Jesus Christ saved your soul. There ain't nothing any better than fishing for the Lord. Boy, you throw out here in just a few minutes in the invitation, I'm going to try to fish some. And try to get some. And boy, ain't nothing like when the Lord puts the bait on the hook and he comes through there and you see when they swallow it. They say, hallelujah, that's what I need. That's what'll help my family. That's what'll help me be a better daddy. That's what'll help me be a better husband. That's what'll help me be a better Sunday school teacher and a better citizen in the community when you give your heart and life to Jesus. Nothing like fishing. I don't like fishing, man. I do like fishing, but I don't like fishing for nothing, them smalls.
Amen.
I want something that'll put up a fight. Them big mouth bass.
Amen.
Son, they fight.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling you, ain't nothing like it when you're preaching and somebody steps out and you know the tears coming down the side of their face and you know the Lord's been dealing with them and they finally just give up. They're not worried about what everybody thinks around them. They says, "I'm just giving up. I'm going. Lord, you caught me."
Amen.
And be fishers of men. Well, let me say this hurriedly. The third gate that they went to was the old gate. They went around the sheep gate, they got it fixed. They went around the sheep gate, got it fixed. Then the old gate was tore down. They started rebuilding, and boy, I'm telling you what, they had I'm talking about everybody was pulling together, everybody was working together, nobody was fussing with one another, nobody was, hallelujah, bickering and fighting and fussing and carrying on. They was all working together trying to rebuild the old gate. You say, what is that? Well, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths.
Right.
Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And the people said, "We will not walk therein." I mean, listen, you know why when you came to Holy Hills Baptist Church this morning, for whatever reason, whether you're a member, whether you're visiting, whether you're whatever reason you're here, did you know why when you came in and you didn't, the lights are on?
Right.
You didn't see any smoke machines up here? You don't see a disco ball on the ceiling? You don't see the lights are blinking and the blue and the red and the pink and the purple? and you don't see a rock band up here.
Yeah.
And people down at the front, all the young people down there pumping into one another. You know why you don't see that here? Is because we done fixed the old gate and we're going to stay with the old stuff. This world needs to fix up the old gate and stop all that new stuff. If it's got new on it, throw it out the window.
Amen.
Some of you ain't liking that too good. But that's just the truth. America needs to speak. If it was good enough for Grandma, if Amazing Grace, how sweet to sound, save Grandma, it'll save your grandkids. Well, we just trying to reach the young people. You reach them with Amazing Grace, how sweet to sound. The same thing that you got reached on. Well, we got to bring in rock music to reach the young people. Then you'll have to keep them with rock music. Whatever you reach them with, you'll have to keep them with. We just not have it. You do whatever you want to, and everybody else, I ain't got time to worry about what everybody else doing. But I can tell you this, I've been in enough of them to know when it feels right and when it don't feel right. When I think the Lord's there and when I think the devil's there. If wherever you go to church looks like a halftime NFL halftime show. Instead of church, it's time we rebuild the old gate. And start preaching. We don't need a book that says how to be a better you. We don't need 40 days of purpose. Hallelujah. Well, I just feel like preaching. We don't need all that Joel Osteen, all that. We don't need it. When's the last time you've seen somebody come down and get saved, crocodile tears coming down our face with all that sissified preaching? I had to take my glasses off because some of you wasn't looking dressed right at me. Y'all look better with my glasses off. Everybody looks like they're smiling now. Well, it's the old time salvation, old time service, old time songs, old time gospel.
Amen.
Old gate. Well, I got to hurry. Some of you are glad for that. But the next gate they had to repair, if you'll notice down there in verse number 13, was the valley gate. Now, let me say this. The valley gate, everybody's going to have to repair. You're going to have to go down to funeral home sometime or another. You're going to have to walk down to the ICU waiting room sometime or another. This life is not a bed of roses. Just because you get saved does not mean the Lord doesn't put on you anything. You're going to have to go through stuff. You're going to have to deal with stuff. You're going to have to go through a valley. Can I say this? Hey, you won't see roses. You won't see all that stuff growing on the mountaintop. Down in the valleys where you see, where the fertile ground is. That's where God will grow you. That's where God will teach you something. See, folks, Sunday mornings, this is just the classroom right here. When you walk out of these doors, that's when the test comes. Out there is when you take the test. Everybody can shout glory in here. When you walk out of them doors and go to work in the morning, there's when the test comes. That's when you'll walk through that valley gate and you'll go, "My Lord, God, what are you trying to do to me?" He says, "I'm trying to grow some roses through that valley gate." You got to walk through the valley sometime. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. Sometimes it's you're not going to understand a lot of things. But you just walk on through that valley gate. You fix it up. And you say, "God, if it'll learn me, if it'll teach me, if it'll help me." Amen.
Amen.
You're going to need the valley gate. You'll have to walk through the valley gate sometime. Well, Jesus Christ walked through it, the Garden of Gethsemane. Right before he goes to Calvary. Don't you know that was a valley? Oh, that was a low place in his life. But thank God. Psalmist David walked through a valley one time. And he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I will fear no evil.
Amen. Yeah.
For thou art with me.
Yeah.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen.
No, I don't want to walk through the valley gate. I don't. Boy, I don't. I like to be happy and happy all the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's valley.
Yeah.
God's trying to grow. J. Vernon McGee, I know it's getting close to some of y'all shutting me off. J. Vernon McGee didn't write all his commentary. Now, I'm not saying, you don't have to agree with everything J. Vernon McGee said, but he wrote a set of commentaries, Genesis through Revelation. He didn't start that until he got an illness.
Yeah.
He says, God, I'm going to start. You just kill me when you get ready. Started in Genesis. He was still living after Genesis. He started Exodus. He was still living after Exodus. He started Leviticus. He was still living. He started Deuteronomy. On all the way through then. And this is what J. Vernon McGee said. J. Vernon McGee said, that illness that I had is the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. He went through the whole Bible. Sometimes God will bring a valley gate through you. You'll have to walk through it. I wish we didn't. I got to hurry. But number five is the dung gate. Say, preacher, what's that? That's where they carried. That's the gate they carried all the waste out of the city. Sometimes you just need to clean up stuff. Some of you got unconfessed sin. You just need to clean it up. Take it out. Take it out the gate. Get it outside of your home. Get it outside of your life. Get it outside the church. Get it. Get your shovel. Whatever you got to do. Get it up. Get it out. Say, preacher, I can't get it out. I can't do it. Hey, you better take it out of the dung gate. Get rid of that waste. You can't live for God with all that waste going on. Clean up them books you got in your house. Listen, if you can't control yourself on the computer, get rid of the computer. Hey, if you can't do it, get rid of it. Don't have one. You say, preacher, I got trouble drinking. I can't stop drinking. What? Not stop going by the place.
Amen.
Get it out of the gate. That's where they took all the trash. Well, anyway. That ain't going over too good. The sixth one is the fountain gate. That was their drinking water. Sweet Holy Spirit of God. You got to have the Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The power of God on your life, the touch of God on your life. Then seven, the water gate. Say, preacher, what's that? The fountain gate's their drinking water. The water gate was their bathing water. That's where they got clean. The Bible says that husbands love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. When's the last time you sat down and read your Bible and just took a bath?
Amen.
When's the last time you read your Bible? Say, preacher, I've never read my Bible. I just read it when you preach, and that's about all I read. Well, I can promise you this. If you took a bath like that physically, you'd go around stinking. And your spiritual life pretty well stinks if you don't take a bath. We can tell it.
Go ahead.
Your spiritual life, we go, whoo, Lord, mercy, what's that? We can tell when you ain't read your Bible in a while. Oh, this ain't going over good. Watergate was the number seven gate. Now, I'm fixing clothes. Hang on. We ain't going to do all ten. Don't say amen or nothing, but seven. Seven is the number of completion. Listen, folks, without doing a big old study right here, this is the only gate that needed no repairs.
Amen. Go ahead.
She don't need any repairs. She don't need fixing.
Yeah.
Just build up the walls around her. The gate's just fine.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
The wall, they had to build the walls up around it, but that gate was still standing.
Amen.
Leave it alone. Don't mess with it. Yeah. Leave it just like it is.
Yeah.
Amen.
It'll help you. The horse gate was the next one. There's your power. That's fighting. Get on a horse and fight.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like Nehemiah in this country we're living. I'm ready to fight.
Yeah.
I'm tired of everybody running over Christians.
Amen.
I'm tired of them running over us. It's time to stand up and fight. We're on our way out of here anyway. We might as well fight it out till we get home.
Amen.
Then number 9 is the east gate. The eastern gate. Can I tell you a little something about the eastern gate? You look at the pictures of the Jerusalem wall. The eastern gate formed up and put brick and mortar, and they closed that gate up. The Muslims said this. They said, all these Jews ever talk about some Messiah coming and riding through that gate. I tell you what we'll do. We'll fix that. He won't be able to ride through this one. And they got them some brick and mortar. Mortared up. And closed up that gate. You look in on the internet, you see there's one gate that's closed up. That's the eastern gate. The Muslims had control. They gave control of there. And they said, well, ain't no Jesus coming through that gate. Well, I got news for you. When they placed him in the tomb, they tried to wall that up too. And on that third and appointed day, the stone couldn't hold the rock that was on the inside, and the rock walked out. And I got news for you, good neighbor. Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 19. I saw heaven open, and Jesus Christ is coming back to that eastern gate. He'll be on a white horse. He's coming through that gate. It don't make no difference what they got up there. You can put nails, hammers, put everything you want to up there. He's a coming. If a stone couldn't keep him in the ground, that ain't going to keep him out of the eastern gate.
Amen.
He's coming back to that place.
Right.
Well, you better be ready.
Yeah.
Say, preacher, my life is in shambles. My life is like these gates are just tore up. America, walls and the gates are tore up. Hey, why don't we this morning, why don't all of us in here just get mad? Just get mad at the devil. And say, hey, why don't let's just arise and build?
Amen.
Why don't let's just arise and build?
Yeah.
Hey, start with that sheep gate. Say, preacher, I've never been saved. You might want to start with that.
Yeah.
Say, preacher, I'm saved. I've never led in by the Lord. You need to rebuild the fish gate. Say, preacher, I'm all into this new stuff and that, you know, all this new and all this. You need to rebuild the old gate.
Yeah.
All through there. What gate do you need to rebuild? What gate's holding you back? One of these days we get down to that eastern gate, it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ coming through that.
Amen.
Guess who's going to be behind it?
Amen.
I hope you're in that number. I sure hope you ain't on the other side watching. It won't be pretty. How about you? Won't you? Why don't let's just arise and build this morning? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us now in the invitation time. Lord, I don't know who's saved, who's not. I have no idea. Lord, you do. God, I